from the city by the bay. Papers, please. Papers, please! Welcome to the Mike Malloy Program. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in tonight for Mike Malloy for the next 3 hours. Glad you found us. Yes, we are broadcasting tonight from the great Green 960 up in San Francisco. Glad you could join us. Big show ahead. Stay with us. Jump in. Give us a call. Join the chat room. You've now got your marching orders, but I will need to see your papers. Hey, we're on the regular phone line tonight. If you do want to give us a call, it's 877-99-MALLOY. That's 877-996-2556. You can also jump over to bradblog.com, where we have a chat room open that I'm going to try to keep my eyes on as best as I can tonight, but we're lucky I can do radio at all, much less keep my eye on the chat room. But I'm going to try. Go to bradblog.com. Jeannie Dean is holding down the fort there. Desi is also paying attention. I'll try to look during breaks, and, you know, we'll all play along. You can also try to Twitter me, at the Bradblog, if you have any questions, thoughts, ideas, comments, complaints. I'm all ears. For those who don't know me, I am your friendly citizen investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell guy from bradblog.com. Delighted to jump in for the Malloys, give them a needed night off here. Of course, I've been off for the past, week and a half or two, kind of off the grid, traveling around doing some completely unrelated work. So you know what? I don't know what's going on. You'll have to tell me. At 877-99-MALLOY, although I do have a vague idea what's going on, and we're going to talk about some of those things in a moment. Coming up on today's show, tonight's show, Dave Roberts, the great environmental journalist from grist.org, is going to be joining us. Lots to talk about there with this oil fire. Oh, man, this oil rig fire in the Gulf, that's just... spill, baby, spill. Hey, great idea, Barack Obama. Let's expand offshore drilling. Now we're thinking, well, we're going to talk about that mess. What's going on down there? The 11 oil rig workers that are missing, now presumed dead. Add to that the 29 coal miners in West Virginia who were killed a few weeks ago. Add to that now one missing coal miner tonight in Kentucky. One has been found dead following a roof collapse in one of the mines out in Kentucky. We'll get an update and find out if the other one has been found. You know, you never hear about solar panels catching on fire, blowing up, and killing people, do you? Windmills, they don't explode. They just, you don't hear, death by algae farm. You don't hear about that a lot, do you? All right, well, we're going to talk to Dave Roberts of grist.org a little bit later about that and about Senator Lindsey Graham and his hissy fit. Don't know if you heard about that this weekend, but Senator Graham is apparently... he's a Republican from North Carolina, and yet somehow he's controlling the Democratic agenda in the U.S. Senate. He's pushing Harry Reid around. Who would have thunk you could push Harry Reid around? He's such a fighter. Lindsey Graham is apparently determining what's going to come up for discussion, for a vote in the U.S. Senate. He had been the only Republican working on climate change and clean energy legislation. And then over the weekend, when all of a sudden immigration came to the forefront for some reason, papers, please! All of a sudden he decided that, if we're going to do immigration, then I'm not going to do climate change. I'm pulling my toys away, and I'm going... Now, if I sound gay when I'm talking about Lindsey Graham, I assure you that's completely an accident. I would cast no such aspersions about Lindsey Graham. But anyway, so he threw a little fissy hit, said he was not going to play along with climate change legislation if they dared bring up immigration legislation in the House. What the hell does immigration legislation have to do with climate change legislation? Only Lindsey Graham knows. Well, apparently only Lindsey Graham, maybe John McCain, and yes, our guest a little bit later on, Dave Roberts from Grist. We're going to talk about all of that with him. We will also be joined by an old friend of ours in studio right here in the city by the bay, Peter B. Collins, who a lot of you, I'm sure, know out there. He will be joining us live in studio here in his lovely hometown of San Francisco, where, did I mention we are broadcasting from Green 960? I did, right? I want to make sure we give them beautiful Green 960 up here in San Francisco. Thank you guys for hosting us. Much appreciated, Corey. You can almost go home. But just hang on. Wait for the first break. Something could, you know, blow up. Anyway, so our old friend Peter B. Collins, who many of you know because he has been on the air for many years on many fine progressive stations, but then suddenly disappeared for some reason. Well, we found him, and he's going to be here live in studio. Okay, have I done all the business? Have I got all the business out of the way? I think so. There's a couple of things I want to hit in this first hour, and I will try to fit in your calls as I can at 877-99-MALLOY, 877-996-2556. But a couple of things have come onto my radar after I said I had been off the grid for a week and a half or so, and then I came back on. I checked my Twitter feed, and man, thousands and thousands and thousands of tweets all about what? Oh, teabaggers! They're racist! They're terrible! They're... Newsflash! We knew that before I left town. We knew that before I checked my Twitter feed. You know, I got to talk to progressives here. Because it's mostly progressives who are listening. Although, if you are a teabagger, you go to the front of the line if you give me a call at 877-99-MALLOY. Mike usually doesn't like to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. 877-99-MALLOY. Anyway, so everybody's on and on about these teabaggers, how terrible they are. And all across the progressive media, the progressive blogosphere, everybody is complaining about these Republicans, how they are nuts. Guess what? We know they are nuts. You're falling into the briar patch, people. Yes, we have to expose them. Yes, we have to, you know, talk about this Arizona thing. But, you know, let's talk about the people who are actually in control or who are supposed to be in control. That would be, I don't know, Democrats. I'm not going to call them progressives. I'll call them Democrats. Call them Barack Obama. Take a look at this as Arizona citizenship law. Okay, and I know that everybody has been talking about it on talk radio all week long, and they are rightfully furious about it. It is an unbelievable affront to this country, to this Constitution, to all that we stand for. But whose fault is this? Well, let's see. A couple of years ago, a year and a half, 18 months ago, whatever it is, when Barack Obama was elected president, what did he do? One of the first things he did was appointed Janet Napolitano, who had been the Democratic governor of Arizona, the Democratic governor of Arizona who would have never signed this bill. But he appointed her to head up Department of Homeland Security. Why? I don't know. No one else in the United States could run Department of Homeland Security. It had to be Janet Napolitano, a Democratic governor from a Republican-leaning state. They tell us it's a Republican state. I don't know. Janet Napolitano, she's a Democrat. She won. So why is Arizona a red state? I don't know. That's what Karl Rove tells us. They color the map red, so we're supposed to believe it. Don't believe it, by the way. In any case, Janet Napolitano, she leaves, and we know who's going to succeed her. It's the Secretary of State. The way Arizona does it, the Secretary of State moves on up a notch and takes the governor's position. Jan Brewer. Crazy Jan Brewer, who I've been writing about for years at BradBlog, how crazy she is. How she allowed these electronic voting machines from Diebold, even after we knew that you could not verify them, that they could be easily hacked in 30 seconds. Not only did she bring them into the state of Arizona and approve them, not only is she still singing their praises today, by the way. My father was in Arizona a couple weeks ago and actually confronted her about this. And she said, oh, no, these machines are the safest in the world. They've been approved by the federal level. There's nothing wrong with the... She doesn't know what she's talking about, or she's crazy, or she's evil, or she doesn't give a damn, or all of the above. Anyway, Jan Brewer was the Republican Secretary of State, who we knew would take over the governorship because Barack Obama appointed Janet Napolitano. Was this not something that he could think about? Was this not something that he thought might matter, might have consequences? Yes, elections have consequences. This is one of them. And, you know, Napolitano never would have signed it. Jan Brewer, of course, did. I should also add, by the way, this Jan Brewer, when she was running for re-election a couple of years ago, and some election integrity folks showed up to protest the fact that she had allowed completely unverifiable voting machines to be used in the state of Arizona, she told Associated Press that they were anarchists. That's right. People who showed up to demonstrate. People who showed up and were concerned about self-governance and following the rule of law and the Constitution and being able to cast your vote. Those people she called anarchists. Now, some might call them teabaggers these days, or let's say tea partiers. She might have called them tea partiers. Had they taken, had they been there now. But no, they were protesting against her, so they were anarchists. All of this we knew. We can complain about the Arizona law requiring citizens, American citizens, to prove that they're American citizens. And you can bet this is going to come into play this November. This is going to come into play at those polling places when people say, hey, that guy doesn't look like a citizen to me. Let's grab his papers. Got no driver's license on you? All right, pal, let's run you downtown. Sorry, you can't vote. You got to go. Oh, yeah, it's going to be used. But we know this. We know how bad it is. But you can complain about the Republicans doing bad things all you want. But take a look at why this happened. Obama appointed Napolitano. Napolitano was replaced then by Jan Brewer. Hello, people. We could have seen it coming, right? Of course. So, where are the teabaggers now complaining about this law? Complaining about this government intrusion? Could you imagine if Barack Obama had passed a law requiring everyone to show their citizenship papers? They would run him out. There would be an impeachment. It would take 5 minutes. There'd be another impeachment. They're not conservatives, these teabaggers. If they were conservatives, they would be furious. There would be a tea party across the state of Arizona demanding this law be repealed. But they're not conservatives. The media need to stop calling them conservative. The progressive media needs to stop calling them conservatives because they ain't. We're going to come back, take a break, talk more about this shortly. Because I'll tell you what, you folks, progressive blogosphere, Democrats, you're playing into their trap, baby. Don't do it. and stop calling them conservatives. Because you know what? Conservative is a respectable, or at least used to be, a respectable thing. Following the rule of law. Giving a damn about the Constitution. Yeah, those are things I can get behind. Those are things that a lot of progressives can get behind. Yes, there is such a thing as progressive conservative. But when you do them the favor of calling them conservative, this respectful name, you're falling into their trap. They ain't conservative. They're Republicans. They're extremists. They're right-wingers. They're fundamentalists. They ain't conservatives. Stop calling them that. I'll give you yet another example after this break. Coming up, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy all night long. Glad you could join us. 877-99-MALLOY. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike, coast to coast and around the globe. Glad you're with us tonight. I've got another example of how there is no conservatives in the conservative movement anymore. But I'll wait till after the bottom of the hour because I ran long. See, I thought I was going to have nothing to talk about, and here I am already. I got fired up. I'm already fired up. But I don't have time for this next rant, so I'll wait until after the break. Let me take a quick call. Robert in Virginia is... Do I have... Now, I got to figure out how to use the phone system. Oh, Robert, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Do I have it working? Hey, Des, can you add Robert to the phone line? Because I don't know how these things work. See? As soon as Corey left. There we go. Hey, Robert, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, my friend?
How you doing there?
I'm okay. You're calling from Virginia, are you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Yeah, go ahead.
I'm calling from Virginia. One, I find the use of the word teabagger extremely offensive.
Why is that?
You're insulting a whole group of people without knowing the individual. And then, to me, whenever anybody insults a whole group of people for any reason,
find
it offensive.
Robert, who am I insulting?
Well, I'm a Tea Party protester.
Oh, you're a Tea Party protester? Well, then.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, well, and why are you offended when I call you a teabagger? Because, well, why are you offended when I call you a teabagger?
Well, that's a term that's used with sexual connotation.
Well, yeah, but that's what the Tea Party protesters started calling themselves in the beginning. They said, I'm, teabag Democrats, liberal Democrats, before they teabag you. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I find that term offensive.
Yeah, okay, well, I appreciate the thought, but you guys should have thought of that before you started calling yourself teabaggers. Go look up...
I didn't. I latched on to the, me as an individual.
Go look up Dave Weigel online and the Free Republic folks who called themselves teabaggers.
That's still one group.
All right.
Not the entire group.
That's the group of the teabaggers. All right, appreciate the call. Gotta go.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. All right, back for more. Right after this on the... From San Francisco's Green 960, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Glad you could be with us here tonight. We are chatting over at the chat room at BradBlog.com. We are taking your calls at 877-99-MALLOY tonight. That's 877-996-2556. You can also Twitter me. Sounds vaguely sexual, but I like it. At the BradBlog. So I'll try to keep my eyes on all of those things. Basically, trying to let the progressives know, since that's what we're, who are mostly tuning in. Although it turns out one of the teabaggers was calling me from Virginia there, and he's offended that I used the term teabagger. Thought we were over that, but that's what you guys called yourself. What can I tell you? Anyway, does it sound vaguely insulting? It is. Now, if you're in the Ron Paul, if you're one of the Ron Paul Tea Partiers, I'll call you a Tea Partier. But as long as you're a Johnny-come-lately give-a-damn-about-the Constitution guy or gal, you are a teabagger. As long as you never opposed Bush's overreach, his wars of aggression, his broken promises of, I don't believe in nation-building. Well, apparently he does. As long as you didn't protest him growing the deficit, growing the government beyond any size, and don't give me this crap. I saw J. Kenneth Blackwell, the guy who helped the Republicans steal the 2004 election. He was on Daily Show last night. He said, well, I was against Bush for the last 8 months. Oh, boy, did he piss me off in those last 8 months. Last 8 months? Where were you, J. Kenneth Blackwell, in the last 8 years? Where were the rest of you teabaggers in the last 8 years? When you never opposed any of Bush's unfunded mandates, No Child Left Behind, Medicare Part D, billions and billions, trillions spent on foreign wars. You didn't give a damn, and now you're going to tell me you care about the Constitution? Now you're going to tell me you care about government corruption? Now you're going to tell me you care about the size of the government? No, you're not. Well, you can, but I'm going to call you a teabagger, and I'm not going to call you a conservative because you ain't a conservative. You're a political opportunist. You're a fringe radical. You're an extremist. You're a fundamentalist. You're a Republican, but you are not a conservative. I'll give you another example of that in a minute, but let me grab a call because we were talking about this Arizona law and the fact that, God, well, what do you know? The tea partiers and the tea baggers don't seem to be upset about the Arizona law that requires you show your papers, please. Let's talk to Tom in Bullhead City, Arizona. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Brad, I saw you on Balanced Radio. You're looking there, good there, young man.
You saw me on what?
BalancedRadio.com. You had a little broadcast on there. I was watching it. You do a good job.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay, anyway, you know, you're missing a little factoid here.
Okay.
By the way, I've had drinks and dinner with Janet Napolitano. And
yeah.
I'm involved in the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mojave. And anyway, you're missing a little factoid there. She appointed Janet Brewer.
Jan Brewer. What do you mean?
Janet Napolitano appointed her because of that bipartisan thing about. That's how she got elected. That's why Barack Obama took her on the cabinet, because she was a bipartisan person.
Well, hang on. Wait. The Secretary of State in Arizona is an elected office. It's not an appointed office.
No. She was not. Janet Brewer was lieutenant governor. Janet Brewer was the lieutenant governor.
No, she wasn't. Jan Brewer was the Secretary of State.
She was. Okay. Okay,
but in Arizona, hang on, Tom. In Arizona, the Secretary of State ascends to, and you're in Arizona, so why am I telling you this? But in the Secretary of State, there is no lieutenant governor, as far as I know, in Arizona, or if there is, they don't become the governor.
Okay, here's.
Yeah.
I swear this.
All right.
She was the lieutenant governor appointed because Janet Napolitano, the reason Barack Obama took her was because. She had been elected in a so-called red state,
right.
And he wanted to do bipartisanship.
Well, maybe so.
That's the reason
and
so don't blame the thing on Obama. Blame it on Janet Napolitano. That's what my point was.
Well, I'm happy. Thanks for the call, Tom. I do appreciate it. I'm happy to blame anything on Janet Napolitano at this point. That said, she didn't appoint. Jan Brewer was elected to Secretary of State. And everybody knew what was going on, and everybody knew Jan Brewer was going to become governor, and everybody knew she was crazy, and if they didn't, well, they just weren't paying attention. All right, let me get to this, just to give you one idea, and I'll get back to more of your calls in a moment, but, this is not going to be on Fox News. This is not going to be on, well, I hope it's on MSNBC. Don't know if it will be. All right. New law, no exceptions, even rape. In the Oklahoma abortion law, women seeking abortion will be forced to see fetal image get unwanted speech. That's right. In Oklahoma, the government is coming between the patients and their doctors, and it's the Republicans who are doing it. And I'm sure the folks who call themselves conservatives are all in favor of it. What do you know? Let's see here. I'll read you a bit of this. From the first time she was 15 and repeatedly over the course of 2 years, Joelle Castaix, a vulnerable teen with an alcoholic mother, was sexually abused by her California high school music teacher. At 17, when Castaix discovered she was pregnant with her assailant's child, she sought an abortion, one that she says was emotionally painful, but that she does not regret. For the first time in my life, I did something to take care of myself, she said. I needed to ensure my safety and make sure he wouldn't hurt me, for it was an act of survival. At the abortion clinic, Castaix was given comfort and counseling, then underwent a standard sonogram to determine the gestational age of the fetus. She turned her eyes away from the screen. But... under a new law in Oklahoma, women like Castaix who have been sexually assaulted will be forced to undergo a second trauma. The law requires them to undergo a sonogram, And depending on the state of pregnancy, it could be a transvaginal one, which involves insertion of a wand. The doctor must then turn the screen towards her and describe fetal dimensions and details like the number of fingers and toes and heart activity. There are no exceptions for victims of rape and incest. Now, where are all you foes of big government out there? Where are all you foes of the health insurance reform out there who were talking about government coming between a doctor and the patient? Where are you people now who call yourselves conservatives? The Oklahoma law was enacted immediately on Tuesday of this week after both the state's Republican-controlled House and Senate voted to override Democratic Governor Brad Henry's veto of two anti-abortion bills. Already one of three abortion clinics in Oklahoma is reporting that women are so upset about the sonogram procedure they are leaving the clinic crying. Not, quote, not one patient would look at the screen, and they all close their eyes or turn their heads, said Linda Meek, director at Reproductive Services in Tulsa, which does 3,000 abortions a year. But it's hard to turn your ears off, she said. Several of the patients were in tears afterwards. No one changed their mind. The New York-based Center for Reproductive Rights filed a legal challenge to the controversial law, arguing it violates both the patient's and doctor's freedom of speech and intrudes upon a patient's privacy in her relationship with her doctor. Now, how many times do I have to turn on Glenn Beck? Do I have to turn on Sarah Palin? Do I have to turn on these wing nuts, these teabaggers? No, not conservatives. These extremists on the right talking about how much they love liberty. Well, guess they're just kidding, aren't they? Because in Oklahoma, they're coming between the doctor and the patient. The government is big government, and they don't give a damn. Just this spring, an Oklahoma county court overturned another anti-abortion bill in Oklahoma that would have created a website that gathered personal information on women seeking an abortion. It was struck down on grounds that it violated the state constitution. Well, that's good. But it didn't keep the Republicans from trying to put it in place in the first place, did it? From gathering information, and again, imagine had Obama done this. Imagine had Barack Obama required papers, please, every citizen, every person in this country to show their papers, to show their proof of citizenship. Are you kidding me? The bill's sponsor, Republican Representative Lisa Johnson-Billy, said women already undergo ultrasounds when seeking an abortion. Under the new law, women would not be forced to look at the screen, she said. The abortion provider needs to see the position of the baby and make sure she's pregnant and see gestational age of the infant, said Johnson-Billy. Unfortunately, in Oklahoma, we have encountered a lot of women who, by the time the ultrasound is provided, they were already asleep and they didn't know, she said. So the real purpose is to give patients all the information that is relevant before they make a life-altering decision. That's it. They're just trying to give information. This is about patients' rights. Johnson-Billy said the information is, quote, empowering for women. Quote, we are all sympathetic with victims of rape, she said. But research shows, quote, those seeking abortions is extremely low. So, you know, it's just a few of you who got raped and pregnant. You won't mind this law, will ya? You won't mind the government telling you what to do. If you don't mind, then you're not a conservative. You're a teabagger. All right, we are going to come back with your calls. Oh, the Oklahoma Medical Association didn't support the bill. Other than that, we're listening to the doctors. Yeah, we're going to come back with your calls. 877-99-MALLOY. That's 877-99-MALLOY. 996-2556. Dave Roberts from Grist is going to be with us talking about the oil spill, climate change, Lindsey Graham's hissy fit, all of that, much more straight ahead. Stay with us. To the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike tonight. Taking your calls and your thoughts, we're going to have Dave Roberts from grist.org joining us after the top of the hour to talk about this oil spill, Lindsey Graham's hissy fit, or as Dave Roberts put it, and I got to be careful here, the Harry Reid, Lindsey Graham fluster cluck. We're going to be discussing that and clean energy in the Senate. Yeah, we could use some of that, couldn't we? And that won't happen if Lindsey Graham throws his little fit. Okay, well, let's talk about the idea that these guys who say they're conservatives, we know they're not conservatives. But the progressive media keeps calling them conservatives, and it drives me nuts because they ain't, and you're doing them a favor. They're right-wingers. They're extremists. They're fringe teabaggers, but they ain't conservatives. If they were, they would have been out there having tea parties with Ron Paul back in 2006 and 2007. Those guys are for real. These new guys, not so much. 877-99-MALLOY. Let's go to, 877-99-MALLOY. Yeah, 877-996-2556. Let's go to Mark in San Francisco, who thanks for hosting me here at in San Francisco at Green 960. Mark, welcome to the show.
Pleasure, Brad.
Good to be here. What's up?
I wanted to say we don't have an immigration problem. We have a Republican problem. and what this is about is this about diverting and blaming immigrants on the Republicans destroying the economy and destroying the country for 8 years.
Right.
They've done more damage than any immigrant could ever do.
Of course.
You know, and what I'm hoping is that the Hispanic people in this state of California come out and vote against every Republican. They're all corporate representatives. They don't represent the people. It's almost as far as it's almost treason.
Yep. Well, it is. But the problem is when you don't vote for Republicans, your other choice is generally to vote for Democrats. And, you know, with the you know, every time I host a Mike show, I'm on here saying, well, what the hell do we do? How the hell do we hold, how do we demand real accountability? You know, I wanted to have Alex Gibney, a director of a new documentary film, Casino Jack and the United States of Money. And it was about, and he wasn't available tonight because they're having the premiere of the documentary in D.C. But I wanted to talk to him. It was about the Jack Abramoff thing. Abramoff went to jail. Abramoff's about to be out. About to be released in about 3 or 4 months. But I remember at the time, everyone was talking about, oh, there's going to take down dozens of members of Congress. There's going to be, well, where are the investigations? Where are the arrests? Who's been taken down?
You know, Brad.
Nobody.
What do you think would have happened if we would have had investigations into the Bush administration and we had, you know, hearings and convictions? Do you think we'd be going through this Tea Party, and we would have had the problems we would have had with the health care? It would have been a whole different situation.
You're absolutely right, and that's what it's about. And it's not about vengeance. It's about how low the bar has been set, and we have now allowed the bar to be set so low that any kind of corruption can go on. Well, yeah, and but you know what? We got to call them as we see it. It's the Democrats who aren't getting that job done, Mark.
Always say, where's the accountability?
That's it, brother. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right. Let me get to real quick, Mark. No, I'm sorry, Ron in northern Michigan. Are you a Youper?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. Welcome to the show. What's up?
Well, as I was telling your screener, I don't like to talk about this because people think I'm crazy, and I've been calling a lot of the talk show hosts because this is just driving me nuts, but I am a member of the militia.
All right. You only got about 30 seconds till I got to go to a hard break here, so do your best.
And I'm disgusted by the law. They could come after us because we're in the militia. I'm so disgusted that I'm going to vote for Obama, and I'm probably going to be voting Democrat for the Senate. It's when you're under attack, I feel like we're attacked by our own party.
Yeah.
You become friends with your enemies in time of war. This is what I am trying to do now.
Hey, Ron, bless you, brother. I got to get out to a break. I hear you. Let those folks, those militia folks in Arizona know the same thing. They ought to be out there protesting. You rock. See, there's one. Way to go, Ron. Militia? Fine. I don't care. Stand up for rights. You know, stand up for the Constitution. Be consistent about it. Give me a break. I'm a conservative, and yet I want the government to come in between a doctor and the patient because it's abortion, and I want to demand we show the papers. Give me a break. All right. Clean energy, oil spill, spill baby spill, all of that coming up right now. Here's Biz Markie singing it, saying it better than I could. And Dave Roberts from Grist.org joins us right after this. Hey, hit it, Tone.
Did you even know the Senate was deciding your fate? 10 years for clean energy, they wanted you to wait. Let me tell you a story of our situation on how we'll repower this U.S. nation. Two things are going on, I hate to bust your bubble, but the climate is changing and the economy's in trouble. Walking down the street in a Cleveland town, a woman passed by, I asked, why you look so down? She says, I lost my job, my only hope's clean energy. Close down my order plant, we need a factory. Ready to work, we got the science and skills, and for 2 million jobs, boy, we need a strong bill. You think that our leaders would jump at the chance, but the lobbyists got them shaking in the pants. So I went to the Senate and asked for real change, but when I sprung the question, they acted real strange. All we need is a clean energy law, but all they just hearing is blah, blah, blah. We need clean energy. We need clean energy.